Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 391.
To read from the Gospel according to Luke, thereof from chapter 2, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 2, beginning with verse 41 to the end. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Let us pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be in thy house in this afternoon hour. We may acknowledge thee for all thy sparing mercies, and for giving us, even in an outward way, an opportunity once again to begin in this first Sabbath of this year, to come under the labors for the need of our souls. And we come before thee on the first Sabbath of this year, and it behooves us to humble ourselves before thee. We have no such humility of ourselves, for we are children of Adam, and we with him have risen up in pride against thee with all thy gifts. And so we continue until that we are granted that true humility by thy Spirit. O grant it unto each and every one of us. Do show unto us who and what we are before thee, that we might learn truly, even as the publican of old, to smite upon our breast, and to say in all truth and uprightness, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O do instruct us in our vileness, in our wretchedness, in all the unrighteousness even of our most holy works, that we are from the crown of the head to the sole of our foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. And there is no healing ointment from our side. But is there no balm in Gilead? O Lord, thou hast made a way. O, we hope, if thou wilt give it, in the year that is to come, to be able to say something of that way. For those that have no opportunity and have no ability, as we have heard it in this morning hour, to return into thy blessed communion. But thou, in thy sovereign good pleasure, thou hast made a way to bring thy own people back unto thyself. And then it is not only an opportunity, as if that they had to respond from their own side, but it is a surety. For thou hast a willing people in the day of thy power, and thou wilt draw them by thy Spirit. Thou wilt raise them from the dead. Thou wilt grant them a new life that breathes, that hungers, and that thirsts after thee. There will be those who are young. That is the time that thou hast decreed, that thou dost bring thy church in. But then there is also opportunity to the end of our life. And then there is also sometimes those that thou dost bring in even in the end of their life, so that there is not one of us that may despair. Oh, could it please thee to give us true desires, to give longings, hungerings, and thirstings after thee in this year that lies before us. Oh, cause our hearts not to cleave to all that is earthly, carnal, sensual, and devilish, and all that brings even unto the grave and to that eternal pit. Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For we go in the way in which we are born, but thou art able and wilt stop thy own church. Could it be that thy Spirit may go before us in this year, that thou may thyself work with power amongst young and old, who is able of himself? Lord, we cannot bring forth anything that is good. We are so dependent upon thee. Thou hast all the power. Thou hast said it when thou wast here upon this world. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Oh, that thou may give in the heart, in the life of young and old together, a storming of thy throne of grace. Oh, give us never to let thee go, except that thou wouldst bless us, for life is a serious matter. We go from the cradle unto the grave. We cannot die as we have been born, but thou hast given offices within thy church. We hope in this afternoon that they also may be reinstalled once again. But wilt thou also give thy blessing upon them? Give us to see young and old the value that is in them. Give us to see what a gift that they are from above, that they are for the bringing in of thy church. Oh, give us to see the hope that there is also in those offices because of the great office bearer. Oh, that we may have our eyes open, and that thou thyself would instruct our ignorant hearts, that our wills may be renewed, and that we may begin to run after thee, to run that race that is set before us, laying aside every weight that doth so easily beset us. O Lord, to whom else can we go? And thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thy promise thou hast given unto us in thy holy word. We have sinned everything away from our own sight. We are undeserving of the least of all thy notice or attention. All the outward blessings we receive every day, but we cannot miss them. Lord, we cannot miss that spiritual blessing. Oh, we beseech thee, could it please thee to look upon us, young and old, in and through thy only begotten, thy dearly beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him also precious to us. Oh, that he may become, as we read in thy word, altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, that we may be given also to see him in this year. Oh, that we may be given to long to know him more and more. And that we may, for this cause, set aside the things that do make separation between thee and our souls. Do look upon young and old and all the needs, those that are sick. Thou knowest where that they are. And wilt thou be with him that is to be installed in the office of elder in this afternoon? Many years he has already done this labor, but Lord, that thou may strengthen him to do it further. It has the willingness of his heart, and he does that with joy. But oh, that he may do it also with a blessing felt by him, a blessing from thee. Do remember him and his wife and all the family together. Look upon us in this afternoon. Lord, strengthen us a little that we may receive what is necessary to do this work in this hour. Give that all things may be done decently and in order. And give us a voice to speak, and that thou thyself may speak. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day, but thou, O God, in great compassion wilt purge my guilt away. And what follows in the second and third stanzas of Psalter 419. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Luke chapter 2, and thereof the 49th verse. Luke 2, verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? So far the words of our text. Jesus about his Father's business. First, a grievous missing of Jesus. And second, a blessed instruction from Jesus. Jesus about his Father's business. First, a grievous missing of Jesus. And second, a blessed instruction from Jesus. We read, congregation, of one incident in the life of the Lord Jesus between the cradle and his ministry. That is the incident where we find the first recorded words of the Lord Jesus in Scripture. We read in the Old Testament from the prophecy of Isaiah that he prophesied, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. And we find already in the first words of Christ here in this world, already a great comfort for the true church of God. How is it, we read, that ye sought me? They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Mary, as our children know, to Mary, his mother. The circumstances you also know. The Lord Jesus, he was greatly missed. On the way home, they are in the midst of great company. He was not missed immediately, because in the beginning, then mother and father Joseph, they make an assumption. That is that the Lord Jesus, he is in the company. And then we must understand that there is at no time any kind of thought in the mind of Mary and of Joseph, as if they were unconcerned or non-caring about the Lord Jesus. It is only that they made an assumption that the Lord Jesus was in the company. Perhaps children that they thought that he was with other children that were the same age, which normally would have been when they were all walking together, that the children at 12 years old, and they are no longer a little child, and they could certainly walk together. And so they are not immediately concerned. To miss Jesus, that is a very grievous thing. Do you know what that is? That is not a missing that was experienced by most of that company. It could be that some of them, they knew the Lord Jesus by name, or that he was the son of Mary and Joseph, because we can understand that they have left the city as a large group, and that the further that they have gone on, the more and more they were with their own people from their own city, Nazareth. But as they have begun together, there was a greater multitude of people. They have not known each other personally. There were some that may have known him by name, and yet they did not know him in a personal way. There was with him no personal relation. And they are those who, when Mary and Joseph had to go back again, they are those who, well, perhaps with some amount of sympathy in their heart, they could still go on their way. There are many persons also today who know the Lord Jesus by name, but they actually do not know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. And then there is actually never a missing that is known in their heart, because they have never had a blessed communion with him. They have never known him. They have never heard his voice. And thus, when we have never known him personally, then also we are not able to miss him personally. But he is often missed by those who have borne him, those who have borne him in their heart, those whose heart has been made a suitable place for him, and to whom he has been revealed in all of his suitability. Then there are times that they have enjoyed his presence. They have come up to the house of the Lord, and they go from the house of the Lord, and they have eaten and drunk in the house of the Lord, and they have enjoyed something of the presence, the nearness, the sweetness of the Lord Jesus. And then they go on. But actually, when they go on, they are not as watchful as they ought to be. They go on with the gifts, and they enjoy those gifts. But as they are continuing on their journey, and then they make assumptions. They make assumptions that he remains with them, and that he is with them as they are going on once again in this world. Sometimes they can go on for some time, for days, for weeks, for months. Should we say it, people of the Lord? Should we say it maybe a little quietly, so that we are not too ashamed? For years? For years? That they can go on with the assumption that he remains with them. And that religious crowd that never misses him, but now slowly on, this people, they begin to realize that it has now been many days since they have heard his voice. That it has been many days that they have seen his countenance, and that they have experienced a little bit of the token of his favor. Still they go forward. Still they go on. They become a little bit concerned. What do they do? Oh, they ask the Lord in the morning when they get up. They ask the Lord, "Oh Lord, it has been a long time. I have not seen thee. I have not heard from thee." At night again, when they go to bed. And yet, there is no Jesus. The longer that time goes on, more concerned that this people become. The longer that time goes on, the more the sighs and the cries, they go up into the courts of heaven. The more that time goes on, the more that the cry of that psalmist that is living in their heart, Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? There comes a time that that people, they come to a standstill. There comes a time that they just do not know anymore. They don't know anymore what to do. They don't know anymore what way that they should turn. But it is as if they are not able. They cannot go on anymore without him. Job, he says, I go forward, but he is not there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. That is the language of the church. The bride, she says, I sought him, but I found him not. What a chastisement that they are often giving to their own soul. Why? Because they remember that time that they have so enjoyed him. They remember being in that house of the Lord. Or they remember the beauty that they have seen by that eye of faith. They remember that tender communion. They remember the feelings of his presence, his nearness, the sweetness, the taste of his favor, of his communion. Oh, then they say, how is it? How is it that I was not more watchful? That I did leave him, as it were, for one moment to be out of my sight? How is it that I was not more careful? That I did not remain in that blessed communion with him? There comes a time that they really begin to fear you. Understand that with Mary and Joseph. There came a time that they really began to fear that the Lord Jesus was actually not with them anymore. That he was not in the same company in which that they are traveling. And you understand how it is then for that people, that they actually begin to fear. Can they deny the things of their past life? They cannot. And yet, they cannot take hold of it now, because they cannot see him, because they cannot hear him, because they cannot feel the presence of him. Joseph and Mary, they turn around. They do not dare to go on anymore. Something has to change. And so they turn around. There is no going on. The multitude can miss. The multitude can sympathize. But Joseph and Mary, they cannot miss. 3 days, they search, and search. Do you know what it is to search for a lost Jesus? For a Jesus that you once heard, that you once may commune with, but whom you cannot commune with anymore? Do you know what it is to miss him? Do you know what it is not to be able to go on anymore without him? To say something has to change. And to begin to search. Oh, it becomes, as it were, a frantic search, Joseph and Mary. Because they cannot miss him. It is a search that they feel so alone in. You understand that they are in the absence of the Lord Jesus. In that search, they do not feel his nearness. They do not feel his presence. And in that search, in the fruitlessness of that search, their fears are growing. Every hour that they are searching and they cannot find him, every hour their fears are growing. Growing that they are never going to see him again. Oh, the fears of that people, when they fear that it has never actually been true, and that they are never actually going to experience anything again of his nearness, of his communion. What do you think? Do you think they have bent their knees together? Or when they went to bed in the evening, and when they have not yet found him, how well do you think that they have slept in those nights? Do you think they have bent their knees in private? How was it for Joseph and Mary in those 3 days? How is it in your life? Because that is a search that was not fruitless. We read it here. They find him, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. Found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And when they find him, then they receive instruction from him. That is our second thought, a blessed instruction from Jesus. What is the first instruction? Well, we read the place where they found him. We read they found him in the temple. Did you ever find Jesus in the temple? In the sanctuary of the Lord? That is the first lesson that we find here in the finding of Jesus. That if you will find him, then you will find him in the temple of the Lord. How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? What does he say? He says, as it were, how is it that ye sought me elsewhere? In other words, he does not condemn them for seeking him, or anyone for searching for him. But he says, why is it that you did not come immediately unto the temple? Why did you not look here first when you missed me? The Lord Jesus was only 12 years old, but he delighted already in the temple of the Lord. He did not run away from that temple. No, he sought there opportunity to use the opportunity that was in the temple of the Lord, because he was, of course, from Nazareth, and here in Jerusalem, there are the doctors. They are the learned doctors of the law. And thus he had a desire to be instructed in the law of the Lord. Boys and girls, children, young people, 12 years old, how old are you? Do you also have a desire to be instructed in the law of the Lord? Will you use the opportunity that is given to you if the Lord will spare you also in the year to come? Will you use those opportunities that you have in school, in your own home, and in the church, that you may seek with all your heart to be instructed in the things of the Lord Jesus? That is a mystery to us. Say he was all-knowing, that is true, but he was also a child and he had to learn as a child. We cannot understand that. But when he was young already, he sought to learn. And then he sought to learn especially what was in that Word of God. Jeremiah, he says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. That is the burden of the weight, a yoke, that is what goes over the animals, that they may lay a burden on those animals, that they may pull a burden. The yoke. Jeremiah says, it is good that you bear that yoke when you are young. Why? Because when you become old, it is very difficult to bear a yoke. You become weak when you become old. And therefore, we hope also in this year that it may be in your heart, O Lord, give me that instruction out of thy word, that you may pay attention when you are taught out of that word of God. Let the Lord Jesus at 12 years old be for you also an example, a lesson. How is it that ye sought me? What does he say? Not only how is it that ye sought me outside of the temple, but he says, how is it that ye sought me with anxiety? How is it that ye sought me with fears? How is it that ye sought me just as if you would not find me when you ought to have known? Say, well, how would Joseph and Mary have known? Did the Lord Jesus say how that they should have known? He does not. And yet, it is as if that he is surprised that they do not even know. He says, you ought to have known. Joseph and Mary, did you know nothing of this child? Mary, has not the Lord spoken unto you, even of this child, that he shall be great, that he shall be called the Son of the Highest, that the Lord would give unto him the throne of his father David, and that his kingdom would be a kingdom that would have no end? How is it that you had not known? And now you are surprised to find him sitting in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. There is much that the Lord Jesus does not say. There is much that is couched in those words. How is it that ye sought me? And the Lord Jesus, he does not explain all of this. But he only says those words. How is it that ye sought me? And he expects his church to understand. How must they understand? Well, they are expected to understand by the reasonings and by the conclusions of faith. The Lord does not say everything, but when it is well, then his church that is paying a very, very close attention. We read when Ben-Hadad came and his servants with ropes about their necks that they were looking diligently to see if anything would come from the king. Oh, they were listening with both ears wide open to see if there would be the slightest thing that they could hear, that there may be mercy from the king. We heard this morning the answer. Our Heidelberg Catechism. Is there not a way that we may escape this punishment and be again received into favor? God will have his justice satisfied. You would say, why then did the inquirer not turn away? Do you know why he did not turn away? He didn't turn away because he had not yet heard. No. Because the Lord had not yet said. No. Thus, for him, there was something that was still open. You understand the ears that the church of God receives by faith? When it may cleave to that hope that the Lord plants in the heart? Jonah went to Nineveh, yet 40 days, and the city shall be overthrown. And the king, he heard a message of mercy? No. And yet, oh, he clave. He clave to something that actually was missing in the message. The ears were open. Congregation, are your ears open? Jesus, did he invite that Syrophoenician woman? Did he say to her, come unto me? What did he say? He said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. That woman, she clave. Why? She still had not heard no. Oh, do you know what the cleavings of faith are? What have your ears heard of that message of Jesus? The Lord expects his people to be listening. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples that he was going to go away. And he says that the way they knew, and whither he went they knew. Thomas says to him, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Ye should have known. Because the Lord expects his children to be listening. with both of their ears. Why? Because he is hiding these things from the wise and the prudent, and he is revealing them unto the babes, and he is giving those ears to hear. But sometimes his children, they are also out of the way. How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Is it not blessed instruction to a people who are seeking Jesus when they may find him in his Father's house, and when they may find him there about his Father's business? Jesus understood so early the business of his Father. He understood so early in his youth the purpose of his coming, why that he was sent into this world. And now it is such a wonder if there is a people who cannot find Jesus, who cannot do without this Jesus. It is such a wonder if this people may come into that house of the Lord, and they may see once this Jesus, they may find him in that house when they are pursuing him, even at the expense of all their earthly portion in this world. And when they may see him now once, because then they receive a great comfort for their sorrowing heart. What do they see? Well, then they see a Jesus which is about his Father's business. What does it have to do with? That has to do with the offices in the Church of God. And our young people know that he was anointed to those offices. What does that mean, young people? To be anointed. That is two things, right? In the first place, to be appointed. It is in the second place to be qualified. O congregation, did you now ever come into the house of God? In all your need, the need of your soul, to find a Jesus who has been appointed of God. What a wonder for a soul to see this. In his great need that there has been one appointed of God for an office to do exactly what I need for my own soul. You understand what a comfort, you understand what a joy, what a relief, what a deliverance when they may be given to see something, how he was not only appointed to that work, but that he was also qualified, that he was given by his Father a human nature and all that was necessary to accomplish this great work. And what is that work? What is now the business of the Father? That is a special business. He created the world. But he is also redeeming his church. That is now the Father's business. Is that never a wonder to you? Do you need the salvation of your soul? Will there be a people coming Sabbath after Sabbath in God's house in this year, that they may receive the salvation of the Lord? That is the business, the special business of the Father, that he may deliver a people from their iniquity, who are not able to deliver themselves from their iniquity. A people that say, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even unto his seat. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to dwell at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside unto the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, though thou farest among women, go thy way forth among the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids besides the shepherd's tents." A great wonder when a people in their need may enter that house of the Lord, and the Lord may give them to behold him as he is about his Father's business. Are you ignorant? Are you ignorant of the Lord? Do you miss him? Do you not know him? Do you desire to know him? Do you say, "Oh Lord, teach me. Oh Lord, guide me. Oh Lord, instruct me. Oh Lord, draw me"? Whose work is that? Is that not the work of a prophet? Oh, and then to see in your need that the Lord has anointed one, appointed him, a special man, to do that work, to teach, to lead, to guide in the heart, to open the scriptures that you may understand them, and that you may say, "Now speakest thou no proverb, but now thou speakest plainly." Oh, he has appointed one for this, for those who are ignorant and who have lost the knowledge of God because of our father Adam, qualified him with gifts, so that he is able to bring that word into your heart. Are you guilty? Are you corrupt? He has appointed one, especially for those who cannot rid themselves of their sin. Appointed one to do it for you, to cleanse, to wash, to renew. He has given him an office, special office of the priesthood, qualified him to become the sacrifice, made him willing also to go forth to give his life even unto death. Are you wayward? Can you not keep yourself? Are you like the Apostle Paul? "The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do"? Whose work is that? To keep a man, to defend him from the enemies, to put a fence, to put a wall about him. Is that not the office of a king? To rule him? Those that cannot rule themselves, he has appointed one. He has qualified him to do this work. Was that ever your hope? It is for those who are lost, who have no ability for this. O congregation, this comes to us in a day of grace. the offices within the church, the offices of that great office bearer, all anointed by God Himself, who knows the needs better than we know them ourselves. This, Christ says, is my Father's business. Do you have a business? Some of you have a business. And when you have a business, then there are those that come to you because that is your specialty, because that is what you do well. This, Christ says, is my Father's business. This is what He alone can do. This is what He came to fulfill. O congregation, the Lord give us health, strength, His Spirit to preach this name to you and to your children in this year. The Lord give to you hearts, hearts that bleed with a need for this business, the forgiveness of our sins, that we may be prepared between the cradle and the grave to meet God. Children, youth, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Three times we have stood with our members at the open grave. Do you know what our fear sometimes is? When is that day? Hardly dare to say it. When is that day that we will stand with you, with a father and a mother? And have to lay in the grave a child, a young person. How many of them, of you, are here? And then it can very well be, it is indeed very likely, that one of these times, one of these years, that we will have to lay a child or a young person in the grave. If you think that death is only for old people, you are wrong. Then go down to the cemetery and read the dates on the graves. All believe that we have to die. We do not know when. We need, children, a new heart. We need our sins to be forgiven. And also now for you, there is an office bearer. He is preached unto you, children, an office bearer, just like the offices. They have to be installed in the church. He is a great office bearer. Oh, that you may learn to know your need for Him. Say, Lord, teach me, lead me, convert me, and forgive me. Amen. We are now going to sing. And afterwards, the form will be read for the installation of elders. Psalter 134. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell. the wonders of thy grace. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 134.
Thank you.
read the form of ordination of elders, which can be found on page 145 of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present, who are chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had aught to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution of the office of elder. Of the elders, it is to be observed that the word elder, or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament, and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ, for the Apostle saith, "The elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the Apostolic Church, the former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office. Namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, "He that ruleth, let him do it with diligence." Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them. As in the Old Testament, the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, "Tell the church," which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is together with the ministers of the word to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent, as much as possible, the sacraments from being profaned. Also to act, according to the Christian discipline, against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church. As doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order amongst Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ, but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore, it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word. Yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God, and continually to be meditating on the mysteries of faith.
I now ask him who is to be installed in his office to rise. To the end, therefore, beloved brother, Mr. Gerrit van Heerden, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you whether you do not feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God himself to this, your holy office. Secondly, whether you believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether you promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability, to discharge your office, as it is here described, as elder in the government of the church, together with the ministers of the word. Do you also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself, in case you should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer? The Almighty God and Father replenish you with his grace, that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your office. Mr. van Heerden, you have been serving in the office for many years already, and the labors you know are very, very many. They are labors which are not required of other persons in this world who do not have an office. Thus, labors above those required by a family. There is also very much time that is required of you. That is time for instruction of the youth, time for meetings, time for yourself that you are studying God's word. And that is time also that is above and beyond what is required of a family. There is, in the third place, responsibilities and that are laid upon you as an office bearer, which are heavy responsibilities, and because they are responsibilities of souls. Thus, in decisions, in studying, in instruction, those responsibilities, they will also weigh upon you. It is very natural that we sometimes become weary. We are human beings and we have only so much strength. There was no one who had such a heaviness in his office as Christ himself. There was no office bearer that had so many enemies as he had because of the work that he had to do. And, yeah, there was no There was no suffering that was so heavy as he had to suffer in order to fulfill that office. And yet we can read of the willingness that he had when he was only 12 years old, with a knowledge, probably increasing knowledge, more and more what lay before him. And what gave him that willingness, that was because he was about his father's business. And this gave him that zeal. It was the love of his heart, and it is very evident as you may do your work, that you also may do it with the love of your heart. And we hope that you may also experience that it is not your own business. We know you have said that before, how that from time to time that you can really feel the Lord's help, when, yeah, we lose our own wisdom and we lose our own strength, and then we can feel how that the Lord helps in it. And then we may know that we do the Lord's business. We hope that you also may be given to know that it is your Father's business, that you may experience for yourself a personal blessing, and that you may know that blessed thing, to know that you are his son and that he is your father, and that this work that you do, that is a work that is for him and for his kingdom. We hope that the Lord may go with you, strengthen you in this labor, that you may continue among us. Mrs. Van Heerden, and your family, and not only yourselves, but also the other wives and families of the elders and deacons. We read that the Lord, we read here that Mary and Joseph missed the Lord Jesus when he was doing his Father's business. And then it will be that you also will by times miss your husband, your father, your grandfather, as he is doing his work. We read also something else. What is it? Well, Mary, she said to the Lord Jesus, "Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And the Lord Jesus, he gave an answer. And then he did not speak about Mary and Joseph, but then he said, "My Father." And we hope, because Mary, she did not reply, then she may receive what he has spoken to her. And we hope that you also may be given to know something, that he is also your God and your Father, because then your husband, your father, children, then they do a work that is not only for the church, but that may be also for you. May the Lord give you strength as you give them their time, their efforts unto the church, which indeed is a great sacrifice. Congregation, pray for this man. Pray for us as office bearers, because the Lord, we think that sometimes, why does the Lord not put an angel here in the pulpit? We would say, then there would be more power, then there would be more wisdom, then there would be more knowledge. But the Lord, he gives men as office bearers in his church because it is his own good pleasure. May the Lord give you prayer. May the Lord give a desire that you also may be blessed through the offices And may the Lord give that this great office bearer may be seen by eyes of faith, doing the business of his Father. May it be also on your behalf. The Lord do so for his name's sake. You may be seated. Thank you. Mr. Van Sluis, would you stand for a moment, please? You have been busy for this congregation for 18 years. And you have felt in the past time the need. You have mentioned that several times to us. And we were glad that you have stayed with us, but we understand that there comes a time that you feel the need not to allow your name to stand anymore. We wish to thank you on behalf of this congregation and behalf of us as a consistory. We wish to heartily thank you for all of the labors that we have felt you have very faithfully performed in our midst. Last Sunday, after the church service, then it was your turn to close downstairs in the consistory room. And I will say that I was touched when I heard you pray. Because I felt something, because you had a little bit of opening. And there you have laid before the Lord us as a consistory in a special way, feeling you would no longer be among us, but you have felt something and you know of all the needs, all the concerns, and you have there laid us for the future before the Lord. And we hope that so your work may not be finished, and that you, in your place, in your own home, may continue so to lay us and this congregation before the Lord. And we hope that also you may receive, though you are then no longer in an office, that you may receive the blessing of the offices and the great office bearer for yourself. And we wish to thank also your wife and your children for giving you these so many years in selflessness to the work of the church. May the Lord bless all that you have done, and may he receive the honor and the glory. Thank you very much. Congregation, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 368. Stanzas 2 and 4, Thy gracious covenant, Lord, fulfill. Turn not away from us thy face. Establish thou Messiah's throne, and let him reign within this place. 2 and 4 of 368, standing. elders, be diligent in the government of the church, which is committed to you and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution every one against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich. Give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them, and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ not for the food of your souls, but follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may, in his respective office, acquit himself as is becoming the elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Wilt thou remember him that also leaves his office? Lord, thou hast upheld him for many years together for us, given him for the labors of the church with a willing heart. Remember him with his wife and family, also for the future. Grant also especially thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that thou may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. 228, 1, 2, and 3. Lord God of hosts in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, 228, 1, 2, and 3. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.